You can be turning to Mark chapter 12, and we will pick up at verse 41. I'll have to go back and pick up some of the verses we're skipping over, but I want to use this incident for our special service today. Mark chapter 12, verse 41. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a fraction of a penny. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." May God bless the reading of His Word. If we were to enter the Jewish temple, we could only go to the first barrier. There was a wall which barred Gentiles from going beyond that point upon the penalty of death. However, if you were a Jewish woman, you could enter into a court for women. The women were not allowed to go past that point. As I understand it, there was a balcony from which they could look down and watch the proceedings. Then, if you were a Jewish male, you could go up to a third barrier, and then only the Levites, only the Jewish priests, could go past that third barrier. Finally, only the high priest could enter into the most holy place. So realize that this unidentified woman that is the subject of this account was admitted only past the first barrier. She could not proceed any further into the temple of God. That wasn't the only limitation she had, however. She also dealt with the limitation of her poverty. And that is a limitation indeed. But she was handicapped as well by being a widow, not having a husband who could protect her and provide for her. Now, we live in the New Testament economy, the New Testament administration, and God has removed those barriers into His presence. Thank God there's no barriers, there's no guards that bar people from the worship of God. However, we still live with our own limitations. Jesus, however, wants us to be givers. And so He tells us it is more blessed to give than receive. And immediately in our minds we agree with the principle, but begin to think of objections and excuses why we're not able to give because of our own limitations. Let's talk about that this morning. First of all, I want you to realize that Jesus knows what we give. It was on purpose. It was no accident that Jesus sat down where He could observe the giving of the offering. Within this court of the women, there around the wall was no less than 13 different offering boxes. This was the temple treasury, and there was a lot of money that came in. Not only money, but livestock and other offerings were brought to the temple. Notice that Jesus positioned Himself so He could watch people as they gave. Jesus is still watching. Jesus knows what you give. Jesus knows what I give. Giving is an act of worship, and He taught us that even when we give as little as a cup of cold water in His name, that will not go unnoticed and unrewarded. And so Jesus wants us to learn to be givers. Everyone can give something. I watched this morning and enjoyed watching you give. And I noticed that Will didn't get his dollar in the offering plate quickly enough, and so he learned the joy of giving. It reminded me that when I was his age, when we went to church every Sunday, my parents would give me money to put in the offering. Now, I'm embarrassed to tell you this, but my father's here, and he might tell it if I don't. So I'll just tell it, that as I began to think about what that money could buy, I began to think about how much candy that offering money could buy. Now, don't tell anybody, but I didn't put it in the offering. And that may have gone on for maybe probably no more than three Sundays. And before long, I got frisked when I came home from church. And it was explained to me that that money was to be put in the offering. But I was struggling a little bit with my giving motive back then. I thought I could appropriate that money for other things. But it's good for us to learn to give. Now, secondly, Jesus is more impressed with the motive of our giving than the amount of our giving. I already told you that as people brought offerings to the temple, there were something like 13 different offering boxes. Each box accommodated a different type of offering. See, the Old Testament prescribed certain amounts for certain types of offerings. But when we look at the amount of money the widow gave, it doesn't correspond to any prescribed offering. Therefore, the Bible commentators conclude that what she was bringing was called a free will offering. She was giving not because she had to, and realized there were certain offerings that were mandatory, but this apparently was a free will offering. Now, these boxes were shaped something like a trumpet. You know, a trumpet, if I was to stand it upright, would have a bell on the top. There would be this wide opening. And at least for the boxes that were to accommodate coins or cash offerings, the wealthy people would throw or drop their money in this sort of a funnel, and it would make a loud clanging sound. Can't you imagine Mr. Moneybags coming to the temple, and he's throwing a little money in this one, throwing a little money. Can you imagine it would sound like a Las Vegas slot machine with somebody winning as it was dinging? In contrast, however, when this widow dropped in her two small coins, there was only a tiny little clink. She gave the two coins, which were the smallest denomination of coins that were in use. Together, they would have added up to 1/64 of a denarius. Now, I know that needs to be translated. A denarius was a normal day's wages, so it would be 1/64 of a normal day's wages. Well, that still doesn't really compute. So I did some research. The average daily wage in the United States is said to be something like $211 a day. If that was her daily earnings, her givings would have been $3.30. I still think that's misleading because, and this is something we have to be thankful for, God has blessed America and we live at a higher pay scale than much of the world. In the better parts of Mexico, the minimum daily income would be something like $4.35. If the widow was giving in that economy, her givings would have amounted to something less than 7 cents. And so you begin to realize this was just pittance. I'm still trying to help us get a grasp on this, and I want to ask you this question. If you're walking into Walmart and see a penny on the ground, how many of you stop to pick it up? All right. What do you do with it after you pick it up? See, that's the whole point. Unless you've got a whole handful, it won't buy anything. And that's about what her offering was worth. Really, her offering wasn't worth anything. And yet, Jesus makes an astounding statement when he announces that the widow put more in the offering than everyone else. How can his assessment be right? We know that Jesus is right, but how can it be right? Jesus explains that her offering was greater even though it was smaller because it was all she had. Conventional wisdom would have advised her that if she gave anything at all, and by the way, it wasn't mandatory, it was a free will offering, ma'am, you don't have to give anything. You're not able to give. But you've got two coins. Let me give you some financial advice. Just put one of them in the offering and keep the other. But do you realize the significance? She gave both of them. She gave all she had. And Jesus is more concerned with our motive than with our amount. But Jesus does want us to give. If you'll backtrack in chapter 12, back up to verse 28 through 34, we'll deal with this at another time. But Jesus teaches us there that God wants us, first of all, to give Him our life. We're to love Him with all of our soul. Secondly, He wants us to give Him our mind. He wants us to know Him, to know His Word, to know how to share our faith. He wants us to be biblically literate. God wants us to love Him with all of our strength. And that refers to our capabilities, not just how many pounds we can press, but that refers to all of our capabilities, and that includes our possessions. God wants us to love Him with all of our strength. That includes our financial strength. Then God wants us to love our neighbor as ourselves. Now, the Jews, here's where they dropped the ball. They were not concerned about the pagans that surrounded them. But the reason we give to missions is we care about our neighbor. We care about our community. We care about our world. God wants us to give because we care. Also, giving is an act of thanksgiving. David asked in Psalm 116, how can I repay the Lord for all His goodness to me? Then he answers his own question. I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. One of the ways we express our gratitude is to give to God and through that giving bless other people. And so at this point, you may be saying, Pastor, I really do wish I could give. And here's the advice that flows from the Scripture. Then ask God to provide a way that you can give. If God gave you an extra $50 a month next year, would you give it back to Him as an act of thanksgiving and love? Or would you just keep it for yourself? Now, you say, I don't understand. It would just be more efficient if God has to give me the money and then I give it back to Him. Wouldn't it be more efficient if He just kept it to start with? Wouldn't it be more efficient if He didn't take that risk of allowing us to handle His money? The government doesn't take that risk. They withhold it before you ever see it. They withhold it with the explanation that they're going to help the poor. Some statistics tell us that they may keep as much as 78% of what is confiscated to help the poor in administrative costs and salaries. It seems like that's the long way around the board. It seems like we have a better way of doing it here in Leesville. We give to people in need. And we don't pay each other salaries. We do it on a volunteer basis. And so it seems like it'd be more efficient if God just kept His money or if God just sent it directly to the missionaries who have the need. But you see, God as our Heavenly Father wants us to experience the joy of giving. That's why my father and my mother gave me change to put in the offering. They could have put it in themselves and not run the risk of me keeping it. But they gave it to me, just like Will's parents gave him a dollar to put in the offering plate. They could have put it in when it went by, but they wanted him to learn the joy of giving. And so just as parents, we give money for our children to put in the plate, our Heavenly Father is sort of giving us offering money. Can He trust you? Will you put it in if he gives it? Well, just ask him. If you'll just go with me to 2 Corinthians 9, Paul talks about this matter of giving, and this is a primary chapter that talks about it. We started off with verse 7, the Lord loves a cheerful giver. Now, the reason he has given us what we have is so that we can share it with those who do not have. Look at verse 12, still in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 12. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Our thanks to God is meeting the needs of God's people. And so as we begin to think about the year 2019, let me just talk very specifically to all of us as we apply this principle. Next month is the birthday of Jesus. Now, for anyone else's birthday, we give a gift to them. What's interesting is that during Christmas, we give gifts to each other and sometimes tend to forget whose birthday it is. It's all right to give and bless one another, but don't forget the cause of Christ. Don't forget His church and His kingdom on His birthday. Now, the Bible teaches that tithing is mandatory. In Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 12, it tells us that God expects us to give our tithe. God challenges us to test Him in a way that He never challenges us on any other subject. If you really understand the dynamics of tithing, you cannot afford not to tithe. Now, if you decide that you're going to tithe when you can afford it, you'll never tithe. But if you start tithing, you will find out that you can afford it. You say, how does that work? I don't know how that works, but I can tell you that it does work. God wants, and that's a mandatory giving, but now we're talking in the New Testament economy, there is a free will offering that's beyond the prescribed giving. Realize that when the widow came into the temple treasury, she was not giving a prescribed offering, but she was giving from her heart a voluntary free will offering. And so in 2 Corinthians 9, 7, each man or woman should give what he has decided in his heart to give. King James says what he has purposed to give. Not reluctantly, not under compulsion. God wants us to give cheerfully, and we're not talking here about tithes, but we're talking about our additional voluntary offerings. This is a time for us to purpose what we will give over the next year. Next week, Deborah Westbury, who is our foreign missions director in the Southern Methodist Church, will be here, and she will give an overview of all of our mission fields. After that, there will be a bulletin insert through the month of December that describe a variety of mission options. Some are local, some are international. But we will be asking for your input. This is voluntary, but you will designate what you would like to support and what amount that you would pledge on a monthly basis. The missions committee then will compile that, and we will adopt certain projects for next year. Now, I'm excited about this, first of all, because our whole church is involved in the process. And this is not mandatory, it's not compulsory, but we're asking you to purpose in your hearts what you would give. First of all, everybody should consider giving something. When I began to work with our missions committee in planning this month and even planning this service, I agreed to speak on the matter of giving. But what I didn't tell them is that I didn't intend to give any myself. Because in 2019, it looks as though I'm going to be assuming a couple of financial responsibilities, and I was just trying to be conservative. And as I began to look at the message, I began to listen to God, and He kept saying to me, everybody needs to give something. So Ms. Reisner and I had a business meeting this morning, and the motion was made that we make a pledge as well. By the way, it passed 2-0. Now, we're still contemplating what we will give. And I know that if this was a hard sell campaign, I wouldn't let you out the door without getting the commitment. But this is voluntary. And so be thinking about it. Be thinking about it next week. And that may drive some of the questions you want to ask as you think about where you want your money to go. But everyone should consider giving something. What if it's only the 2 mites? What if it's only 2 pennies? If that's all you have, realize that combined with everyone else's coins, it makes a significant offering. We may not be able to do much or do anything significantly on an individual basis, but collectively, we can combine our pennies and make a difference. Now, you say, but I don't know where the money is going to come from. Well, trust God to supply the gift that you're going to give. Look, I'm still in 2 Corinthians 9. Look at verse 6. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Every man or every person should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all needs, at all times, having all you need, you will abound in every good work. Do you realize that what verse 8 is saying is that if you have purpose to give, God will supply the way for you to give. We want God to use our congregation to bless others. Look down at verse 12. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, that's what we're doing, but it is also it is an overflow of our expression of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you provided yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ. And for your generosity, other people will be blessed because of our generosity. And in their prayers for you, do you realize that people will pray for us? This God will bless us as we give because they will pray God's blessings upon us. And so realize that we cannot outgive God. Look at verses 10 and 11. Now he who supplies seed to the sower, bread for food, will also supply and increase your store of seed. Now you take inventory, you say, all I can give is 2 cents. All right, we'll give your 2 cents, but realize that what will happen next is that other people will be blessed, but God will then increase our capacity. He will increase our supply. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. That's the joy of giving. Our Heavenly Father will give us money to put in the offering, and if we're generous and put in what He gives us, He will give us more to put in. And as a result, other people will give thanks for our generosity. Now, I need to say this in the interest of full disclosure. I'm still on a flat salary. I'm not preaching on commission this morning. In other words, the more we raise, I don't get a percentage of it. I appreciate the salary that you give me, but there's nothing personally for me to gain. As a matter of fact, we're going to give as well as joining you in giving. And so next Sunday, we're going to get an overview. Then in the month of December, you say, why December? That's Christmas. That's a tight time for me financially. Well, but remember whose birthday it is. In December, we're going to be considering, and we will purpose in our hearts what we will give for the year 2019. What will happen is that our giving will increase, other people will be blessed, they will they will pray that God blesses us as a result of our generosity. God will increase our income, enabling us to give more. And so that's God's economy. Yes, God could directly supply the need, but He wants to give us the chance and the joy to give, just as parents, we want to share with our children the joy of giving. And so, this is not compulsory, but God loves the cheerful giver. God will bless us as we try to make a difference and bless other people. And so, the offering has already been taken. We're not going to frisk you at the door. But over the month of December, talk it over. And I would encourage you as parents, talk to your children. What can we give as a family? What can we give as individuals? But this will be one of our major emphases for the year 2019. May God help us. May He use us as a funnel, a conduit of blessing, that we can bless others. And as we bless others, He will bless us. Let's stand and ask God to help us. Be with us in the busy weeks that lie ahead. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your unspeakable gift to us. You gave us the best. You gave all when You gave Your Son. Now, we looked this morning at a little widow. We don't even know her name, but she also gave all. She didn't give very much, but she also inspires us to give what we can. Make us cheerful givers. Bless us as we give. Make us generous. Make us happy. And help us to make other people happy as we meet their needs. Bless Your work in Your kingdom all over the world. Help us to make a difference. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.